9th chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Gunman opens fire at GOP softball practice. Restaurant siege in Somalia ends with at least 31 killed. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Shooting at San Francisco UPS facility leaves 4 employees dead. Crowded mosque in Kabul hit by explosion. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Any given night, 3,000 people who are homeless sleep on Eugene streets. Death toll in London Inferno expected to rise above 70. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we cry out to the Lord of the harvest, "Dear God, who is going to heal this world? Who is going to free your people? Who is going to tend to the wounded and the weary and the broken?" And Jesus summoned those who were closest to him, his 12 dearest friends, and sent them into the world to do the same work he had already started, to heal, to liberate, to be moved with deep compassion, to love. Who, O Lord, is going to heal this world? The disciples of Jesus. Who is going to heal this world? You. You. There is no one else waiting in the wings, no one else to pinch hit. There is only you. The harvest is plentiful, and you are the laborers. So go, proclaim the kingdom, cure the sick, set free the oppressed, love the unloved. Now, if you're anything like me, hearing these words, being called by God, being sent by God, it's terrifying, if not laughable. Like Sarah, who's called to become a mother well into her 90s, left her weeping with laughter. We too think that God has called the wrong person. I'm not smart enough. I'm not faithful enough or charismatic enough to change the world. Simply reading the news headlines overwhelms. So why in the world would God choose me? What am I supposed to do about poverty and homelessness and violence and destruction? And Jesus had compassion for the people that surrounded him, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus' compassion moved something deep within him. And somehow he couldn't help but love those who were standing right in front of him. So maybe that's where you begin. In your heart, where compassion strikes you, you begin with that which stirs your being, with what moves you to the core. You begin in those places where you can't help but love. Now, maybe you've heard this before, but your calling is where your passions meet the world's needs. Where your passions meet the world's needs. And practically, that's going to be different for everyone. But what remains the same, as another preacher said, is that as each of you is sent by Jesus into the world, you are sent as Jesus for the world. As each of you is sent by Jesus into the world, you are sent as Jesus for the world. Responding to the freedom found in Jesus, you are sent forth with the same tasks that he had, to proclaim and to heal and to set people free and to love those who accept you and to love those who can't stand you, to love those who agree with you and to love those who don't. To love those who can pay you back and to love those who can only receive. Your calling in this world, wherever you find yourself, is to literally be the love of Jesus to your neighbor. Because that's what makes us different. That's what makes us more than just another social service organization, because we truly have the most life-changing story to share. One that proclaims that God's love through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is stronger than any news headline. God's love is stronger than death. God's love is stronger than brokenness and pain and addiction and insecurity and apathy and crankiness. God's love is more powerful than bullets and fires and hunger and hate. That's what we're armed with when we go into the world as Jesus. God's love. A love that moves us to our very core. A love that calls us to be Jesus for the sake of the world. Now, often this love will be less than joyfully received. A couple years before we left Illinois, NIU, the local university, experienced a mass shooting. A gunman entered a classroom, killing 5 students, and then turned the gun on himself. About a week later, the Lutheran campus ministry put crosses on their front lawn in remembrance of those who had died. And on their grounds stood 6 crosses, one for each person killed, the 5 students and the gunman. Those followers of Jesus took seriously his command to love their enemies. And in response from the community, they received nothing but anger and hatred, and at one point, a burning of the 6th cross. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is risk in proclaiming God's kingdom instead of promoting nationalism. There is a risk in liberating the oppressed instead of blaming them for society's problems. There is a risk in loving the unlovable because you might have to step out of your comfort zone. There is a risk in following. We can't pretend otherwise. But there is good news too, because this journey isn't meant to be taken alone. Just like the disciples who gathered around Jesus, those with different viewpoints, those who would betray him, those who doubted him, we are gathered together to proclaim the good news, to heal, to liberate, to love with those who are seated right next to us. We're never sent out by ourselves as Jesus. We are sent out as the body of Christ, a body that working together can change the world. This is the journey to which each of you have been called. A journey where being claimed by the love of Jesus, together we become the transforming love of Jesus in the world. So now, let your hearts be stirred with compassion. Let your soul be touched by the Spirit, and let yourself take a most faithful risk to love. For the harvest is indeed plentiful, but you, the laborers, are plentiful too. Amen.